Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Whom are you going to vote for during the next presidential election in the United States? I've just written an editorial on this topic, and I'm going to use this now as a basis for today's program. On June 22, 2024, the Associated Press reported, and I quote, "Former President Donald Trump on Saturday urged evangelicals to get out and vote in an election that has him neck and neck with President Joe Biden. The evangelicals and the Christians, they don't vote as much as they should," Trump told the audience at the Faith and Freedom Coalition meeting in Washington, D.C. "They go to church every Sunday, but they don't vote, and we have to make sure they vote just this time," he said. Now, why is it that some Christians do not vote in governmental elections? Why is it that they will not vote in the upcoming election either? Now, the reasons might be many. As the article said, and I quote again, "Trump's stated opposition to signing a nationwide ban on abortion and his reluctance to detail some of his views on the issue are at odds with many members of the evangelical movement. He previously stated that he would not sign a nationwide ban on abortion if it was passed by Congress." And of course, now we have a situation where states will decide whether abortion is allowed or not allowed. And so you might have a state which allows abortion up until the point of birth of the child or even beyond, and other states completely and totally prohibit it altogether. We go on to say in the editorial, "So abortion is a big issue, and some Christians will not vote for either Trump or Biden, as they do not agree with their respective stance on abortion." And I might want to add, there could be a third candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and they are not going to vote for him either, especially because of his position on abortion. We continue, "While Biden, a professing Catholic, is not opposed to any form of abortion, a position totally at odds with the viewpoint of many Christians, Trump's stance against abortion, but allowing abortion in some instances, does not go far enough for some, because they are opposed to abortion under any circumstances, so no exceptions. Another issue of controversy is immigration. While many, if not most, Christians oppose Biden's open border policy, some are concerned with Trump's rather stringent and somewhat radical approach, including his position against chain migration and his somewhat ambiguous concepts regarding DACA. Chain migration, that's when a child can ask that his parents can come and become American citizens, or the other way around. That's a basis on which Trump's wife's parents became citizens. And of course, DACA, talking about children who have been living here in the United States all their lives. Are they going to be deported when Trump comes to office, let's say, if he does? And of course, one of the advisors in the issue of immigration is Mr. Miller, an extremely radical person, a Jew whose parents had to flee Europe because of persecution and had become American citizens here in this country. We go on to say, "There are certainly many more issues which would clearly prevent many Christians from voting for Biden. From a stance on the LGBTQ+++ movement and same-sex marriages to his war-driven policies, the weaponization of the legal system, and his attacks on personal freedom and liberty." Of course, Biden's supporters are telling you, "Oh, none of that is true." Of course, if you have eyes to see, ears to hear, you know it's true. We continue, "But rather than not voting at all, should they not then vote for Trump, with whom they might not agree on every issue, but who would be closer to their viewpoints?" And of course, the same may be true for another candidate. In other words, should they not vote for the quote-unquote lesser evil? That's what people have told me. Oh, I have to vote for the lesser evil. But in asking the question in this way, some Christians would argue that this would still be voting for quote-unquote evil. Something they could not do, as they feel that according to Scripture, they have to abstain from every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. But I go on to say that the crux of the matter goes far beyond the issues raised so far, and there might be many more examples I could give. In our free booklet, Should You Fight in War?, we are showing a connection, many times a completely overlooked connection, between voting in governmental elections and joining the military and fighting in war. Now, let's not forget that the president is a commander-in-chief, and he has a power to declare war. So, Christians are saying, some are saying, how can I vote for a person who is declaring war while I am a conscientious objector? In a chapter in this book titled Why Christ Would Not Vote in This World's Governmental Elections, we quoted an article from the late Herbert W. Armstrong, which was published in 1984. Now, he was the late human leader of the Worldwide Church of God, which is now defunct, which has completely embraced all kinds of apostasy and does no longer exist. But in 1984, Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, Mr. Armstrong wrote this: "This is not a world of God's making. This is Satan's world. The Bible speaks of this world as this present evil world." Galatians 1 and verse 4. No, Jesus did not enter into this world's politics. He called his disciples out of this present evil world, out of all its customs and philosophies and ways, to live a life of separation from the world. Thus, Jesus' disciples live in this present evil world as though they were foreigners, here merely as the guests of the nation where they reside, as ambassadors for Christ's and his coming kingdom, not of any of this world's governments. Foreign ambassadors do not involve themselves in making their state, where they live, a better state, or voting, or entering their army, or fighting for their cause. The true Christian is one who follows Christ, and Christ did not vote, Mr. Armstrong wrote. Jesus did not try to reform Caesar. He preached the doctrine of a radically different world to come. This is Satan's world, he repeats, and Jesus Christ did not come to reform Satan or improve Satan's handiwork, but to save his followers from Satan and his system. Since God's kingdom is not literally set up as yet, the true Christian's citizenship is now reserved in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. What then, Mr. Armstrong continued, would Jesus do in a time of presidential election? He would be too busy proclaiming the good news of his coming world-ruling kingdom and the way of salvation to take any part whatsoever in the politics of this present evil world or in any man-made form of government that is doomed very soon to be destroyed and replaced by the theocratic government of the kingdom of God. Our mission is, as ambassadors of Christ, as advance emissaries of his kingdom, to warn the world of its plight and present danger, to proclaim to all nations the good news of the kingdom of God. Close quote. Now, these words were written, as I said, in 1984. Today, they are as relevant as ever, looking at the situation in this world. Now, we also stated another chapter in our booklet, the following, which is titled, Why Do You Teach That a Christian Should Not Vote in Governmental Elections? Another reason why a Christian is not to vote for a candidate in governmental or local council elections is because he understands the truth about this being Satan's world at this present time. It is Satan who, with the general permission of God, places candidates into governmental offices. If we were to vote, we might involve ourselves quite directly in Satan's system. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 4, we read God's warning in this regard. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. We continue. Sometimes, in order to ensure that certain aspects of his plan are fulfilled, God himself might intervene to see that it is that person who is best or perhaps worst suited for the job at the time he gets a job. Compare Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. How would God look at us when he intervenes directly to place a specific person into office, while we did not vote for that person, but rather for someone whom God does not want to see in charge at that time? It is obvious that our vote would be found to be in opposition to God's will. Continuing, to give a prophetic and an historical example, biblical prophecy reveals that a final political leader of the resurrected Roman Empire, the Beast, will soon arise in Europe. According to God's prophetic plan, this person will be placed in office in the very last days, wreaking total havoc on this planet. It is Satan, with God's permission, who will give his power and authority to this person. Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. A Christian could not and should not vote for that person, of course, as he will persecute and kill many of the saints. Revelation 13 and verse 7. That's one reason also why a Christian cannot participate in war, because he might kill a fellow Christian in another country who might be even a conscientious objector. Continuing, this person, the beast, will even attempt to fight the returning Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, verse 19. Neither should a Christian have voted for Adolf Hitler. Although it is clear now that Hitler came to power as prophesied to bring about the ninth resurrection of the Roman Empire. This is to say that God allowed Hitler to become ruler over Germany so that prophecy could be fulfilled. Now, many Germans voted for him. They shouldn't have, obviously. So, I concluded the editorial, and I'd like to conclude this program with the following statement. While many will tell you with seemingly logical arguments that Christians must vote in the upcoming presidential election, the Bible is quite clear that they must not do so. The question is, whom will you follow? Men or God? Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Times have changed and the world is living in a state of fear. How are we to live our lives when surrounded by confusion? Will we submit to God at all costs when we are put to the test? Or will we compromise with man's directives that go against God's commands? What is the true meaning of the mark of the beast? How are we to obey God rather than men? This booklet will show you how to stand strong in times of conflict. For a free copy, please contact eternalgod.org.